It is a joy to be together with you this Easter morning. And I don't know if any of you have your minds on your spring travel or your summer travel, but I wonder if some of you have seen the ads that I've seen before for a certain airline. Somebody has something go wrong, and the little phrase is, "Want to get away?" Maybe you've seen those. When something happens in life where it just kind of stops us and we go, "Ugh," or we have a faceplant moment. Some of them are little things that we're embarrassed by. Some of them are big things that just knock the breath out of us. And if you've experienced those moments where it seems like there's some obstacle, it seems as if there's some enemy that's there, then I hope you hear that Easter is a story for you. I hope that Easter can be a story for this time and for all of us, because there seems to always be an enemy. There seems to always be an obstacle. In the Old Testament reading, we're hearing this song of triumph from Moses and from the people. Why? Because they had literally been between a rock and a hard place. They'd been between the sea on one side and an army ready to annihilate them on the other. And that enemy then gets destroyed by God, and they're set free. When there seemed to be no way out, God provided a way out and wiped out the enemy. That is not only an Old Testament story, but it's the New Testament story. Because we face enemies too, don't we? Sometimes it's the little nagging things, you know, oh, people don't like us, or this failure, that struggle. But we all face a common enemy called death. That enemy, and the evil one who reminds us of death is always there saying, "You're not good enough. What makes you think God could love you? This went wrong, that went wrong. There's just no way." Death and the devil always seem to be around to discourage us. But God had an answer. And whether your problems are big ones like Moses was singing about, or they're the smaller ones like you hear Paul addressing in the second reading that we heard, where he talked about the little nagging problems, we want the yeast kind of working its way through our lives and wearing us down, whether it's small or big, God has an answer for the discouragement. And that answer came on Good Friday. That answer came with Jesus offering his life as a sacrifice for us, offering his life in place of us as a substitute for us, offering his life as a sin offering so that there would be no more obstacle between us and God, no more obstacle or enemy that could stand between us and eternity, living forever with God. Now, this maybe doesn't seem like, you know, that big of a news sitting here in a church pew on a Sunday morning. But I truly hope this can sink in. A lot of you know I have another job besides doing this. And many of you know that I'm a hospital chaplain. Every single day, I meet people who are facing that obstacle of death. It may not be in your life. I hope it's not in your life for years and decades. But there's a loved one that is going to come, and that time's going to come. And it's going to seem like, what's going on here? Well, what we know is that Jesus went ahead of us through sin, through death, through all the enemy's attacks. He comes to be that answer. And that Passover lamb of Jesus, that Jesus is, the sacrifice that he made, it overcomes every single enemy, every single obstacle that we face. He is truly the one who is the beginning and the end, the all in all for every situation that we face. Mary went and looked at the tomb. She saw it empty. She's wondering, where is his body? Peter and John go and look in as well. Where is he? Well, the angels gave him an answer. Why are you looking for the living among where the dead normally are? Jesus' tomb was empty because he was alive. And he still is alive. And his tomb still is empty to this day. There's a church now where that tomb used to be. It's the same large area, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And it's an interesting bit of history that the Roman emperor who followed, who when he heard about this tomb and this new king, this one who could conquer death, he commanded his soldiers literally to chisel the grave out of the ground so it didn't exist anymore, down to bare bedrock. Those who know where the tomb was continue to keep the story alive. You can touch that bedrock. You can touch that place. And it still remains empty today. Why? Because Jesus is alive and not in that tomb. And Jesus is filling us, filling where we have felt empty, filling where we have been felt weighed down by obstacles, filling where the enemy, the devil, or death itself has worn us out and emptied us out. You know, he's alive. And part of what Jesus fills us with is hope. There's hope. There's life after death. This is something that I say to church members here, and I say to people in the hospital. One of the things, as sad as it is when a loved one goes before us, one of the hopes that we have because of Jesus is it's not the last time we see them. We get to see them again. We get to be with them again. And that's the hope that keeps us going. That's the hope that helps us have some peace in our heart, even when our hearts are weighed down with grief, with sadness, with struggle. There's life after death. And the one who you saw close their eyes that last time, take their last breath, is alive now at Jesus' side. And that hope that Jesus, who is the resurrection and life, took our loved one, is holding them close, has restored them, and keeping them waiting for us to have the ultimate family reunion. That's our hope, not only this Easter, but for all life long. Jesus not only fills us with hope, but he fills us with truth. You ever find in this world it can get really confusing? This one says, that one says, this one believes, this, you know, maybe some of our feelings make us think of something else that were going on. You may have heard in that, again, in that epistle reading, just to read that phrase again for us, where it says that we could be filled with the bread of sincerity and truth because Jesus works truth into us. The truth. And a great chapter for truth, if you want to look at a chapter in the Bible to see this, is Romans chapter 8. I'd encourage you to take a look. It starts out by saying this truth, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It continues on and describing the truth that even though we may have suffering and difficulty, that suffering, that difficulty is not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be ours in eternity. It goes on and continues with the truth that even at this very moment, Jesus is still praying for us. Give her the strength. Give him, Father, the encouragement he needs to keep going. He's still praying and still caring. And it concludes with this wonderful truth, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the past or the future or anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Those are truths that Jesus fills us with to make us strong, to help us endure and get through anything that we're facing, any worry, any fear. Jesus has already been there, done that, paid for it, canceled it, and offers us truth that it's there, that victory is also ours. That's what they're celebrating in the Old Testament reading as they sing, and a victory song can be yours and mine this Easter as well. And that truth that Jesus helps us through every situation, also there's one more thing he fills us with. Jesus fills us with joy. I don't mean it's always the jumping up and down joy. Sometimes it's just the peace that passes understanding to guard our hearts and our minds when we can't figure out our way, but we have a certainty that Jesus said there is a way. We have the truth and we have our own experience and we have his wonderful word to tell us that it's not done. That joy that was given to Mary when she saw Jesus, when he spoke her name, that joy can be yours. Jesus speaks your name. Jesus speaks love and grace to you. Jesus offers strength and encouragement and a path through where it looks like there isn't any way through. Joy can fill us because Jesus fills us. And the empty tomb is a testimony. He's not there. He's in you. He's filling you and me with joy. I want to close with this one thought, that as Christians, there really is no goodbye. There really is no end. As real as some of those things we consider ends being, someone moves away, a career ends, or someone's earthly life ends, there really is no end for those whose hope is in Jesus. Because there's always a tomorrow. There's always still yet eternity. There's always Jesus speaking your name and taking us from the grief and from the sorrow and even from the grave itself and saying, I'm with you. I love you. I have a plan for you. I'm ascending to build a home for you. And you'll get to be with me when that day comes. So Jesus is alive and Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And we celebrate that and we trust him and we have his Easter joy. Amen? Amen.